Dear friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us for one more week of Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. This Tuesday, when we came together, our lecture was very specific on understanding the difference between need and greed. And as part of our conversation, we spoke in great detail around this thing called ambition. We learned slowly how is it that ambitions lead us into conditions of greed. And we had to do that because when it comes to the topic of what we need and the things that we would desperately want to have, Master Samael tells us it is only through the comprehension of need and greed that you will set the foundation for a correct thinking process. Now, this is indeed a very profound statement. Through the comprehension of need and greed, we will set the foundation for a correct thinking process. That means that the understanding of need and greed, as it allows us to set the right thought, eventually those thoughts will then manifest into right sentiments, and those sentiments will eventually manifest into right actions. So this is not just because it is convenient to have good thinking. It is because as we follow the ray of creation, thoughts that eventually crystallize as emotions, that eventually get energized with our vitality and ultimately are materialized through our physical form, it is important that whatever is being expressed through the body or in or within the body itself, that is indeed of a superior nature. And for the benefit of those of you who were unable to participate on our Tuesday lecture, the brief summary that we can give you is contained right here in this single one page. We stated that when it comes to greed, greed is an exaggerated, disproportional, voracious appetite for something. That is what is greed. In our case, well, we have a very interesting psychological dependency on something that is money. And money is nothing more than a condensation of energy, if we could use that analogy. Because just like when we can accumulate a tremendous amount of money, well, we can easily relate that to accumulating a tremendous amount of energy. And thus, people who have a lot of energy, let's say a lot of money, they are very powerful. And those who are very powerful, they can make things happen that those who lack of that energy, well, can certainly not. And through the passage of time, we have been creating a psychological dependency on money because we have failed to understand the real value of money itself. So, as we have come up with this exaggerated and this disproportional psychological dependency, it has enabled all the other inferior elements within us that are vanity and they are prestige, they are power. Images of self-worth and self-value, self-appreciation, self-esteem, all of these things are one way or another connected to money or put at risk whenever money is considered to be at risk as well. So as we understand the difference between need and greed, and we were, for example, to look at something as simple as money, it becomes easier for us to understand the real value of this type of energy when we can see that the things that we need are very simple in their nature, and they can be listed as clothing, shelter, and food. That's it. If we were to simplify the list of all the things that we think we need to the exact things that truly add value into our lives and can lead us and enable us to practice into greater works as is the super dynamic of love. What do we need? We need clothing, we need shelter, and we need a source of nourishment. That is it. And as we worked on Tuesday, we did a very brief exercise so that we could see which one of these would stick out by virtue of the principle of spontaneity. And as we looked individually and particularly into these three, each one of us, in the privacy of our own mind, as the one that emerged, well, became the one worthy of an immediate assessment and observation, well, for some of us, we were able to get into comprehending where is it that we can set intelligent limits. Because we're saying that greed is associated with this voracious appetite. So evidently, there is a lack of control, a lack of a signal that will tell us what is enough. And we went in detail into identifying what are these signals that we can look for within us. And we stated that these signals are satisfaction and sensation. And of course, it was implied in the conversation. It is likely that many of you came across that as you reflected on the subject, that these signals from satisfaction and sensation would come to us from the voice of the silence that exists within. Because sensation is, of course, associated to our senses, and needless to say, we have abused of our five senses enough throughout this life and in our previous lives as well. So the senses would let us know physically when something is enough, but also when it comes to the topic of satisfaction, the signal that comes from the senses is pretty much the last line of defense. You see, we can sit ourselves comfortably and enjoy a delicious meal. And if we do not identify and fascinate with the meal itself, we'll eventually become satisfied. That means that we will consume enough, and we will know when we have indeed consumed enough. But when we override that signal of satisfaction, when we turn our ears, our inner ears, deaf to that voice of the silence that is telling us this is sufficient, this is enough, then we continue abusing of the senses to the point that, for example, on a Thanksgiving Day dinner, we will reach a point in which the sensation from the body will scream, "Please, no more." That is what would happen. And by the time that the sensation of the body is screaming, "Please stop," that is indeed an indication that we have fallen into that exaggerated and disproportional voracious appetite. And of course, we're speaking here of food because we're saying appetite and the things are easily relatable. But we also spoke that there is greed for spiritual progress. We also spoke that there is greed for spiritual faculties, for attributes, powers, virtues, abilities. There is greed for the development of solar bodies, of a solar soul, of illumination, awakening, of adepthood. There are greeds that run very deep within what Gnosis can teach us, and that is because our ego is such a bad secretary that it does not know anything other than to incorrectly translate much of what it learns, and then it just seeks to have more of everything that it can get its hands on. So we need to comprehend what is the difference between need and greed, and we need to start assigning things their real value. We have to assign money its rightful place in our existence. We have to assign food its rightful place in our existence. And when it comes to this treasure or trove of wisdom that is Gnosis, we have to assign to this the right value of this in our existence as well. As we comprehend this, we can then set intelligent limits. That means that we can take of our own individual and particular creative energy that we can make available for our spiritual practice, and that we can invest it correctly in what adds the most value. And going back to the topic of money, we stated money is not good and it's not bad either. It all depends on what is it that we do with it. It all depends on how much is it that we push onto ourselves the value of money. So let's look at comprehending the true nature of our sensations and our satisfaction. We tend to think in certain fixed ways. We are experiencing not only a conditioning that is individual of each one of us, but that it is also collective. And this conditioning exists within the collective subconsciousness of our modern-day society. You know, we tend to say things like, if all things were happening according to the plan of my political party, if things are at home were going the way that I have tried to see happen, if things at school were happening in this way and not in that way, what would happen is that we would be seeing happiness and things would be harmonious, things would be all right. But because things are not like that, then things are not. That is why there is conflict, you see? This type of thinking is very inferior in nature. Because when we set fixed thoughts in the likes of identifying the root cause of problems outside of us, then we start thinking that the problems can be fixed outside of us, that the problem does not exist within us. And at that moment, we start creating a degree of separation. And that degree of separation leads to other problems, one of them being the hardening of our own greeds. Because eventually you will start experiencing greed, that voracious appetite for people to then listen and do what you are saying, and that eventually deteriorates into turning us into what is known as control freaks. You see how these things come together. All external changes are irrelevant until we can comprehend our state of internal poverty. We have to look within, and we have to comprehend what is happening within us, so that as we understand our defects and we work towards their elimination, that we can start liberating consciousness. Now, this consciousness will not just go randomly outside of our being and exist somewhere within the cosmos. What will happen is that the moment that we liberate this consciousness from these bottles of the ego, the consciousness will come back and gravitate towards itself. Just like when you have mercury, liquid mercury, and you approach droplets of mercury to the little pool, those droplets naturally gravitate towards the pool of mercury itself, making the pool every time bigger and stronger, with more capability to attract. This is what we seek to do as we free our consciousness, as we eliminate of our inferior aspects. We cannot continue to create new means to satisfy our satisfactions at the expense of others. We cannot continue to put blame, whether it is our children or our parents, whether it is our brother, our sister, maybe our spouse. We cannot continue to do that. We have to start understanding that these things that we judge in others are nothing more than reflections of our own self. It is just that these things that we are seeing in others, that we dislike so much, these are things that exist in a hidden aspect of our psyche. We are just not aware of them. But a little bit of observation shows where is it that we behave in similar ways. And in many cases, well, we may not be as obvious as what we may be seeing outside of us, but we find out that we end up doing the same things just in more discreet and subtle ways, which is indeed so much more dangerous. So we are seeking to comprehend what is our need and where is it that our need is satisfied, so that we can start seeing where is it that our greed begins. Understanding satisfaction is important because satisfaction is related to knowing when things are enough, when they are sufficient. The moment that we can understand where these intelligent limits exist, we can start seeing with a lot more clarity how is it that we justify our greeds and we call them needs. And then the next time that we say or that we think, I need to have that, or I need this in my life, or that is what I need, it will invite of an instant, of a brief moment of self-reflection in which we will catch ourselves justifying our greeds. And that is good, because every time that we see this, we then can enjoy the small victory of that discovery. And that discovery will invite us into observation. That observation will then give us, reveal to us, the right degree of comprehension. So friends, we need to learn to differentiate between our physical needs and our psychological dependencies. Our psychological dependencies are at the root of slavery and the exploitation that we all experience in different ways. So for our practice tonight, what we will do is that we will find a comfortable place in our home, whether it is your bed or the carpet, if it is a rug or a yoga mat, that'll be your choice. But we will rest on our back and we will assume the posture of a five-pointed star. If it is possible for you and you can discern where the magnetic north is, we will invite you to lay flat on the floor and align your head with the magnetic north. That way, we are setting ourselves in a very comfortable posture and in harmony with the flows of magnetic currents that are inherent to the planet. As we assume this posture, we will relax our body. The relaxation of the body will lead into the relaxation of our emotions. And once our emotions and our body are in a deeper state of relaxation, the mind will follow suit and the mind will start relaxing itself. With the relaxation of the body, the relaxation of our emotional center, and the relaxation of our intellectual center, we are then going to concentrate on what are our needs. And we spoke about clothing, we spoke about nourishment, we spoke about shelter. As you breathe, I will ask you to open yourself to that which is new. And in that light, to embrace the principle of spontaneity. Allow of your mind to calm down so that the innermost may reveal to you, to your consciousness, what is that thing that is demanding that immediate attention? Clothing, shelter, or nourishment. As that emerges, don't reject it. Don't fight it. Don't say, how can this be? It's not that. I can't think of anything associated to that. I'm going to ask you to avoid doing that just for this exercise. The moment that that is revealed, focus on your breathing. Focus on maintaining a deep state of relaxation so that by virtue of the principle of spontaneity, the next image, the next vision, the next symbol may emerge in your mind, giving you better and more clear direction. As that is there present, focus on remaining calm, on relaxing the body, on relaxing the emotion, on relaxing your intellect. And give your consciousness an opportunity. Empower your consciousness to observe. Allow your consciousness to see these things. And through the faculty of intuition, you will know immediately the significance and the meaning of certain things. focus on remaining relaxed at the level of the body, the emotion, and the mind, and your consciousness, by virtue of the faculty of inspiration, will instantaneously know the spiritual reality of that thing that it is observing. And again, we invite you, don't fight it. Don't deny it. Limit yourself to observe it just as you observe a beautiful flower. Limit yourself to observe it as you would sit down in a park and observe a beautiful lake. Simply be there and perceive it. As you do this exercise, what will happen is that through internal visions, you will discover which are your legitimate needs and where is it that your greed is starting. If you happen to have a Gnostic journal where you keep track and note of the symbols that you see in your dreams, I would invite you to keep it close by so that by the time that the exercise is over, that you can take note, that you can write down today's date, so that you can see which aggregates came into play. Write that down and focus comprehending these defects so that you can eventually invoke of the serpentine power of your Divine Mother to see them reduced into a cosmic dust, to have that consciousness freed from those cages so that that consciousness can come back and coalesce with itself, giving you every time a more powerful, permanent center of consciousness. So for tonight's practice, let's go ahead and move into a location where we can rest on our back and that we can assume the posture of a five-pointed star. To do that well, we're going to close our eyes. We will ask of everyone who is choosing to lay down on their backs to be very careful doing this. Be careful that you do not strain your back, that you do not get hurt with the edge of a table or a chair. And as we do this, and we accommodate ourselves on our back, let's make ourselves immediately aware of the sensations in our physical body. If there is something that feels too tight, something that is making you feel uncomfortable, take the moment now just to relieve that and alleviate that sensation that is so distracting. It could be your socks, or it could be your shoes. It could be your belt, it could be your watch. Maybe the earrings are too heavy. If that is the case, take a moment and loosen those things, perhaps remove those things and put them aside on a safe location. And as we do that, lay on your back, open your arms comfortably from side to side, and spread your legs apart to about shoulder width. Let's go ahead and take a deep breath in one. Exhale into two. One. Two. With every exhalation, allow your body just to sink a little bit deeper onto that resting surface. Let's take another deep breath in one. Two. And at this moment, let's go ahead and make ourselves aware of what is our emotional state. our emotions are a very complex spectrum. On one extreme, we have emotions that are of bliss, happiness, and joy. On the other extreme, we have emotions that induce such deep states of numbness that they could be compared with the emotions of a corpse. And in between one and the other, there are perhaps infinite degrees of difference. There may be some of us who today have had a remarkable day. It has been inundated with small victories, with opportunities that have come to materialize that appear to be favorable. And that gives us a sense of joy and satisfaction. And if that is our case, we observe those emotions. And we observe those emotions with gratitude. Because we know that we remain bound to the law of the pendulum. And we know that if today we're happy, well, eventually the pendulum will swing in the other direction. And later on, we may be experiencing sadness. So for those emotions of happiness and joy, we contemplate them and we certainly express our gratitude for this opportunity of enjoying of these emotions today. Yet some other of us may be just feeling content, maybe perhaps a little bit indifferent, maybe just satisfied with how the day has gone. Perhaps nothing comes to mind immediately on how we feel. And for that, we also express our gratitude. Because we know that we are bound to the law of the pendulum, and that as a mechanical law of nature, eventually that pendulum is going to swing in another direction. And today we may feel just satisfied, content, and later on we just may be indifferent and not care. And for that, we express our gratitude for this new moment. There may be others who may be expressing some uncertainty or some fears. If those are the emotions that we are experiencing, then we also express gratitude for them, because we know that we are bound to the law of the pendulum, and these emotions will also pass. Thus, we are grateful for this opportunity, because we may feel like that right now, but we know that this is also temporary. Beyond fear and insecurity, there may be others who are frustrated, may feel angry, resentful. For those of us who may be feeling in those ways, we express gratitude as well for the ability to become aware of these emotions. And we express our gratitude because we know that these emotions will also pass. And just as today we feel frustrated, well, later on, we know that we will experience other joys and other satisfactions. And yet there may be others who may feel defeated. In some cases, the day has thrown out some challenges that may have surprised us. Maybe we found that we have made some mistakes. Maybe some some actions took place and the results were not what we expected, and because of that, we may feel a little depressed. And even if that is the case, we also experience gratitude for that, because we know that these emotions will pass. We know that today we may be feeling like that. We know that maybe we have been feeling like that for a couple of days. But we know very well and with certainty that this is just all temporary. So as you can see, whatever emotion we are experiencing is not an indication of us being superior or inferior. Whatever the emotion is, it does not matter. What is truly important is that we become aware of it. And for that awareness, we are certainly grateful, and we express our gratitude. And now that we understand our emotion, as we are laying comfortably on our back in the posture of a five-pointed star, with the certainty that as any dark entities may linger and see this posture, they will naturally disperse. They will naturally seek to go somewhere else, because the tenebrous ones always flee before the appearance of the flaming star. We take a deep breath in. 1, 2. And as we allow our physical body to sink just a little deeper, we say, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we are here humbly at your presence, asking of you, begging of you for your contribution into this exercise. Divine Father, we offer you this practice, and we ask of your assistance by giving us the faculty of objective imagination. Objective imagination is the same thing as clairvoyance. And we ask you for this faculty so that we may not be distracted with the appearance of things, but that we can perceive the thing itself. We ask you, Father, for the faculties of inspiration and intuition, so that as we see that thing, that without the use of the inferior logic of our mind, that we can immediately apprehend the significance and the reason of things, so that we can immediately apprehend the spiritual significance of the thing itself. We ask of this, and we ask of your guidance and your protection. All of this we ask in your holy name. Amen. As we continue focusing on our breathing, we breathe in through our nose and out through our nose. Let's make use of that practice of relaxation that is employed by the adepts and the masters. We're in this posture of a five-pointed star. We will allow the pulsations of our heart to be felt at the tip of our nose. we notice that without any significant effort at all, those pulsations immediately become evident at the tip of our nose. And as we experience them there, we experience them with a great deal of satisfaction. Because it is a subtle sensation, and yet it is the right sensation. It is not too much. It is not too little. It is just right. And we experience these pulsations with a great deal of satisfaction and gratitude. And we allow them to transition from the tip of our nose to our right ear. And we notice that without any effort, the pulsations that we're beating at our nose gently transition onto our right ear. And again, the sensation is just right. And our satisfaction is present, and we experience it with gratitude. And we continue just focusing on our breath, in through our nose, out through our nose, and from our right ear, we allow those pulsations to project themselves onto our right hand. And we notice how these pulsations fade gently from one location onto the next one. And again, the sensation on our right hand is not too much, and it is also not too little. It is just right. And we experience it with satisfaction. And we are in gratitude for this moment. And so we allow these pulsations to move from our right hand down onto our right foot. We transition those pulsations from our right foot to our left foot. from our left foot to our left hand. And all along, we only focus on our breathing. And we seek to make of our breath a flow that is so effortless that it becomes almost imperceptible. We transition those pulsations from our left hand onto our left ear. And from our left ear, back onto the tip of our nose. By now, our exhalations have become gentle and long. And we ask that you bring your attention to the sensation of softness that permeates throughout the body. Because as you perceive that softness, you can notice that there is a very gentle vibration that is so common on these deep states of relaxation, that it is a gentle vibration that exists in every part, atom, tissue, tendon, ligament, muscle, and organ of your body. Have the certainty that if at any point in this exercise you feel the loss of this sensation of relaxation, you can always ask your innermost to bring it back by saying, "Divine Father, please bring back into this body its previous state of relaxation." And as you focus on your breathing and you exhale, you will notice how you regain the softness and the relaxation. We will continue focusing on our breathing, in through our nose, out through our nose. And we will concentrate on our immediate physical needs. Food, clothing, and shelter. we will not seek to look with the eyes. So we just allow our eyes and our eyelids to remain completely relaxed. And as we open ourselves to that which is new, as we empower that free consciousness that exists within us to observe, we embrace the principle of spontaneity so that we may see which one of these requires immediate attention, our nourishment, our clothing, or our shelter. We limit ourselves to remain observant. We contemplate the same way that we contemplate the beautiful starry sky. As that immediate need is revealed, we receive it with gratitude and limit ourselves to contemplate it. As we allow our consciousness to remain observant, we empower the consciousness to discover where is it that our need becomes satisfied, so we can see where our greed begins. Divine Father, we ask of you that you allow us to see clearly at which point our need becomes satisfied and where is it that our greed begins. Divine Father, we ask of you that you show us enough so that we can gain the comprehension of how is it that we best satisfy our needs and where is that our greed begins. Grant us of this comprehension so that we can set the foundation for a correct thinking process. As we observe where our need becomes satisfied, it is important what drives the greed. Whether they are elements of fears or insecurities, whether they are vanities, desires, self-considerations, matters that have to do with self-esteem and self-image. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we can identify what those aggregates are. We can understand what is the secret spring into action. Very well. Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for this opportunity you have given us today. That you have granted us the opportunity of coming together as a single heart, as one extended family into this practice. Help us gain certainty of where our needs become satisfied and where our greed begins. And allow us to see the secret mechanisms of action behind that. We ask of you that you do that today or in the upcoming days, so that there is no doubt that we can take the lesson. We give you infinite thanks for this opportunity. And we ask that all of this materializes by virtue of the universal charity and the great law. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a breath in. 1, 2. And gently wiggle your toes and your fingers. And we come back. So, dear friends, this has been our practice today into identifying where is it that our need ends and our greed begins. A good exercise into understanding need and greed. Thank you so much, dear friends, for joining us this evening. And may all beings be happy.